Welcome to the Hedgemaker Broadcast. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied to the nation of Israel many long years ago, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." He also said that the Lord sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries, located in beautiful Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is attempting to stand in the gap and make up the hedge in these days of spiritual compromise and theological apostasy. Our biblical and historical Christian heritage challenges us to fill in the gaps left by those who have moved away from their biblical foundation. Listen now as we build up the wall and make up the hedge through sound preaching from God's holy word.
Let me take you to three different passages of Scripture that mention the Holy Spirit and prayer. Let's go first of all to Ephesians chapter 6. In the armor that Paul lists for the Christian, he closes the session by mentioning prayer, as if prayer would be the top, the most important piece of the armor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. After he listed all of the pieces of the armor, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." So my subject tonight is praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." When we did the acts of prayer, we used the acronym ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. John Rice has written his book, and I was reading just a little bit this afternoon, a sermon by Jack Hiles, and both of them say that prayer is asking. And the asking is supplication for ourselves as well as supplication for others. And praying in the Spirit. We want to look at that phrase here a little bit tonight. Let's also go to the little epistle of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, so go to chapter 1 of Jude, verses 20 and 21. Jude 1, 20 and 21. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Same phrase that Paul used. "Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Praying in the Spirit of God. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Now, we'll talk about this, we'll go back and look at this, but right now, I'm going to skip over it. "Likewise, the Spirit also," so he said something about the Spirit earlier. We'll go back and look at that sometime later, but "likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I think what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 8 is praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying in the Holy Ghost, as Jude said. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Of course, in this passage of Scripture, we are told that we have the Holy Spirit as helper. Dr. Hiles used to call him the prayer partner. We have a prayer partner, and it's the Holy Spirit. Let's go to another passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Here we have an example of the Lord Jesus Christ praying in the Spirit. Luke 3. Now, this is at the Lord's baptism. Okay? "And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying," so the Lord is praying, "the heavens were open," and what happened when he prayed? "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The thought is that the Holy Spirit is attracted to prayer. When you and I pray, now we have the Holy Spirit with us. As believers, the Spirit of God indwells us, but it's like the Spirit of God is attracted to our prayer life. It's almost like he, oh, here's a believer praying, I'm going to go help him. Because the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. Now, if you keep that in mind and think about that, and go back to Romans chapter 8, we do not know what we need. Let's look at it, Romans 8. I feel like I'm jumping ahead of myself here going into the book of Romans, but this is good with the Holy Spirit in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what our needs are. The Holy Spirit, however, knows our needs. We don't think too much about that, do we? The Holy Spirit knows our needs. Now, I think we're supposed to address our prayers to God the Father. When you pray, Jesus said, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. So we don't pray, Dear Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. And so we need to recognize that He is there. You may not feel Him there, but you need to know He's there. So I don't know what I need. I know not what to pray for as I ought. Now, sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't. The Holy Spirit knows what I need. So I go in my prayer life, because the Holy Spirit is my helper, I go to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps me find my needs. Let's go to Ephesians 2. I'll come back here and finish this, but let's go to Ephesians 2 and verse number 18. Ephesians 2, 18. Paul is talking about the union between Jew and Gentile. In verse 14, he mentions the middle wall of partition broken down between the Jew and the Gentile. Christ, of course, is the peace that joins those two together. Verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which are nigh. For through him, here's our verse, for through him, that would be through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So when we pray, Our Father, we come through Christ with or by the Holy Spirit, coming unto the Father. So in other words, all three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved in our prayer life. I don't know about you, but I don't often think about that. I think, well, I'm praying to God the Father. But while I'm praying to God the Father, the Holy Spirit is attracted to my prayer life, and, oh, let me help that believer. He doesn't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit knows. How come the Holy Spirit knows? He's God. Get your theology, right? The Holy Spirit is God, so He knows what you need, just like God the Father knows what you need. And so I go to the Holy Spirit to find my need, and we are told, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, right? But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit as Christians, as believers. The Holy Spirit is there. He's there in our prayer life. We need to be conscious of Him, and He knows what we need. You say, well, Jesus knows also, yes. Jesus knows also, but we have the presence of Christ with us through the indwelling ministry of the Spirit of God. So God is with us in and through the person of the Holy Spirit. I suppose as fundamentalists and whatnot, we have shied away from thinking much about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but He's there. So, I'm praying, the Holy Spirit knows my needs. Now the Holy Spirit tells me what my needs are.
For instance, I might be asking God for a brand new car. And God says, or the Holy Spirit says, you need a car, but you don't need a brand new one. See, the Holy Spirit knows what I need. I think I know what I need, but the Holy Spirit really knows what. And so you have this conversation going on between you and the Holy Spirit and God. You might actually make a list. And what we're thinking about is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Isn't that a Bible verse? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with you that things are going on, that things are happening. And so the Holy Spirit now tells you what you need. You don't know. You know, you're praying, and Romans 8:26 says that you pray, and you know not, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, if you read on there in verse 26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God knows what we need. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Okay, well, maybe I don't need a brand new car, but I need a car, and God supplied, said that he would supply my needs. Whatever your needs might be, I'm just using an automobile as an illustration there. In your mind, at least, maybe you can even write this down, but in your mind, at least, you begin to make a list, a revised list of what your needs are. You're coming to the Lord asking for this, 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 and this. And the Holy Spirit says, no, this is what you need. Because you don't know what you need, so you need the Holy Spirit to tell you what you need. We've already talked a little bit about praying in the will of God. Okay? If it's the will of God, then the Spirit of God is in it. And so now, I have this revised list that the Holy Spirit helped me to make through the convicting, teaching, convincing ministry of the Spirit of God. We as Christians have that. The world doesn't have that. We have the ministry of the Spirit of God to teach us what we need to know. So I take this revised list in my prayer. Okay, Lord, I don't maybe need, or maybe even as I'm praying, you know, I might be asking for the new car, and the Holy Spirit jumps in and says, Lord, we've already talked about this, and he needs a car, but he really probably doesn't need a brand new one, you know, or he needs a coat, but he doesn't need the mink shawl to go with it, you know. Not he, she. Just needs a new coat. And so the Holy Spirit comes along and gives you a revised list. So now it's like we go together because the Holy Spirit helped with my infirmity. And we go together in prayer to the God the Father. You know when you have trouble and somebody might say to you, well, you know, do you want me to go with you? We like that help sometimes. Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help your infirmity. And go to the Father to make your requests known. And so I go to the Father with my needs, and the Holy Spirit goes with me. Ephesians 2:18. I lost it. Anybody have it still open? Who's got it? Okay, can you read it for us? Right. Through him, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay, so the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Now back to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, let's read that again with those thoughts in mind. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Infirmities are weaknesses. And the weakness is we don't know what our needs are. We don't know how to pray like we ought to pray. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By the way, when the Bible uses the word itself, it is true to the Greek language. A lot of people come along and say, well, see, the King James is a mistranslation here. It really should say the Spirit himself. No, the Spirit in the Greek language, the word Spirit, pneuma, is a neuter noun. It's not masculine, it's not feminine. It's not him, it's not her. It's it. But that does not mean that the Holy Spirit is a force and not a person. The Holy Spirit is indeed a person. So our King James is true to the translation of the Greek text. So we have access to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. Right? Now, verse 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If I understand this passage correctly, we now have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Actually, there's two things going on here, I think. We have the Holy Spirit interceding with us because He goes with us. Let me give you a thought from Matthew 18:19. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus is teaching and said, if two of you agree on any one thing, then basically it's going to come about. Well, let's apply that to the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit is your prayer partner, you and the Holy Spirit can agree on any one thing, and you together now go to the Father and those two witnesses, and of course the Holy Spirit is God, so you have tremendous help in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you something else in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, when the disciples, this is at the council that the church in Jerusalem was going to give to the churches that Paul had established in his first missionary journey. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 8, they sent some delegates there to the church of Jerusalem to see what kind of advice they might give. And here's the response. It's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas that came to Jerusalem. And the church of Jerusalem is going to send Judas and Silas along with Paul and Barnabas, verse 27. Okay, who shall also tell you the same things by now. And then verse 28, look at what the church says, represented by the apostles. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So these people were in prayer trying to get the mind of the Spirit of God on this matter. So it seemed, how did they know that it seemed good unto the Holy Spirit? Because they're in prayer. The Holy Spirit's attracted to your prayer life. And when you pray, the Holy Spirit, He comes there and helps with your prayer life. And now the two of you can work together. So it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They didn't just simply say, now we went to prayer, and in our prayer life, we decided. No, they said the Holy Ghost showed up. But we have that ministry of the Spirit of God, right? The Spirit of God dwelling within us, like John says in 1 John chapter 2, we know all things. And John is addressing the little children. We read and study about the ministry of the Spirit of God in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, that the Holy Spirit teaches, He convinces, He convicts, He intercedes, He helps, He comforts, so the Holy Spirit is there. So I'm thinking that we probably need to rethink the ministry of the Holy Spirit and prayer. He's there. He's a part of, should be a vital part of our prayer life. And so in John 15, verse number 7, Jesus will say something like this, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And of course He's in the context of asking according to the Father's will. But the idea is you get together in your prayer life with the Holy Spirit to really determine what you really should pray for. And now you come together with the Holy Spirit who helps your infirmity and you ask what you will. Psalm 37:4, of course, says, delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall bring it to pass when we delight in the things of the Lord. And see how the Holy Spirit tells us. You know, we're looking for this brand new car, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, you don't need the brand new car, you need just the new car. And now, as you're working with the Holy Spirit, your will gets convicted with the Holy Spirit's will. Now you are in connection with the Spirit of God. You're now delighting in the will of God in your prayer life. See? So we have that potential as Christians, so we have the Holy Spirit interceding with us. And then in verse 27 of Romans chapter 8, we also have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Because sometimes I don't ask for things. And the Bible says, of course, you have not because ye ask not. But there's a little bit of a hint here, I think, in this passage, that the Spirit of God will come along in the side of us. He's the comforter, the one, the parakletos, the one called alongside of, in the prayer life, to say to God the Father, you know, what this believer really needs is So there seems to be a little bit of an indication that the Holy Spirit not only intercedes with us, but intercedes for us. Now, we also have the interceding ministry of Jesus Christ, don't we? Somebody said that this is a double advocacy. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to go into court with one lawyer, one advocate. Well, we have two. We have two that are perfect and who are united. We don't have one saying that we need this and another one over here saying, no, the guy really needs this. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in complete union, and we have a double advocacy, two lawyers fighting our case, as it were, before God the Father, and praying with us, helping in our prayer life to bring about what is necessary and what is needed to get what is needed. So, in that sense, yes, prayer is indeed asking. Now, while you're in Romans, let's go back and look at some of this, and then jump ahead just a little bit. In verse 5 of Romans, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they do mind," is the concept there, "the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded," fleshly minded, "is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." What does it mean to be spiritually minded? It means to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God," and that's what we have without Christ. We have a carnal, fleshly mind. We think like the flesh. We think, well, this is what I need, and we really don't know what we need. "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And we're supposed to be talking about praying in the Spirit. But you're in the Spirit. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you," and that's a conditional clause, but it's a condition that is true for us as believers. The Spirit of God does indeed dwell in us. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you," you're not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So, all of us who are in Christ have the Spirit of Christ. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Then verse 14, "For as many as are," what's that next word? "Led by the Spirit of God." How are you led by the Spirit of God? He dwells in you. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit." The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Divine Spirit, bears witness with your human spirit. He's talking to believers now, not to unbelievers. How does that happen? Because our spirits are to be one with the Holy Spirit. That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So we ought to be able to pray for anything that Christ would pray for. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 23, he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." Part of that is talking about, you know, our bodies are groaning. We talked about the physical infirmity this morning. And we have those physical infirmities, and the Holy Spirit helps us. Our bodies are groaning. We're groaning within ourselves. And we're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, so that our bodies are perfect. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, that why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, in the context of all, likewise, as the Spirit of God helps you with those things, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ask. So in the context now, we're talking about the Spirit of God leading and guiding us and directing us and meeting our needs and helping our infirmities. And so that's the context of prayer, the Spirit of God helping our infirmities, praying, interceding with us, and interceding for us. And then look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All of these things, I don't know what to pray for. So all of the things that are happening in my life are working together. Things work together for good. Individually, we may not like them. So we pray, and we say, Lord, I sure don't like baking soda. Lord, I don't like the flour. I don't like the salt. And the Holy Spirit says, Lord, He needs the baking soda. He needs the flour. He needs the salt to make the biscuits. Give Him what He needs. You need the Holy Spirit to help you pray, folks. Okay? Because you don't know what you need. And so allow the Spirit of God to help you in your prayer life. And move with Him and allow Him to supplicate on your behalf. Father, we thank You for the privilege to look at the Holy Spirit in prayer tonight. And we thank You. We don't understand all of this ministry of the Holy Spirit. But what a blessing to have Him with us and to have Him help our infirmities. We don't know what to pray for often. And we need guidance, wisdom, leading from the Holy Spirit to know what to pray for. And so, Father, we just pray that You'll just bless in a wonderful way as we learn the art of prayer and learn it by doing. But as we're doing, Father, I know I haven't given much thought to the Holy Spirit being there in my prayer life. And so I pray that You'll help us to be conscious of His presence and know that when we go to God the Father, the Holy Spirit's with us. And actually, the Lord is with us as well. So we have that double advocacy. What a wonderful privilege to be a child of God. And to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, what a wonderful privilege. Bless us as we learn to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals once again and close with hymn number 376. 376, Take Time to Be Holy. 376.
Dr. Lee Hennies, and we want to thank you for listening to the Hedgemaker broadcast today. Most of our broadcasts are portions of a sermon that I have preached to the church. Hedgemaker Baptist Ministries is the preaching, teaching, and writing ministry for myself. You can visit us on the web at hedgemaker.org. And let's be encouraged to stand in the gap and make up the hedge until Jesus comes again.